Well, happy Sabbath, Mill River Church. First of all, thank you, Lee. Thank you. I know Lee, me and him, I don't think remember. He does remember. We went to school together at Union. You know, he was tall and skinny. Now he's just tall, you know. I got to be careful what I say because he's It just means a lot to me. You have no idea, my brother. When I think it was a camp heritage. I went up to him. I said, "Hey, boss," and he looked at me. Said, "If you call me boss one more time, I'm gonna fire you." And I went, "Hey, brother," real quick. You know, so I love you, man. I thank you. Well, my name is Elike Semaboy, born and raised from Rwanda. Let's pray. Father, I am nothing without you. Speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Exodus real quick. Exodus 14. Exodus 14 and verse 13. If you go to Leviticus, you went too far. You come back. Okay? So Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 14. And in verse 13, I'm going to read 13 to 14. Actually, start in verse 10. And when Pharaoh, Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that you told in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." In verse 13, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever.'" And verse 14 says this, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Brothers and sisters, the Lord will fight for you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know the tears you've been crying. But I'm here to tell you that God will fight for you. These young men you see here have been through battles that none of you understand, only me and God. And I can tell you, I'm standing here today because of his grace. You are breathing because of his grace. God will fight for you. A journey into the wilderness. We all been through the wilderness. But before I go on, as Lee said, my beautiful wife is here. That's my queen. You know, I am glad I found her. Ernestine, Jennifer, and Christine is here. And my week-born Vivian is Aunt Civi, or my wife's sisters. They're all here today, so thank you guys for supporting me. A journey to the wilderness. As I was saying, my name is Elike, born and raised from Rwanda, Africa. I love this home so very much. We don't have no McDonald's, no Taco Bells, no Burger King. All we do, we farm. We're farmers here. We farm, man. If I want to eat, I go in the back and get some corn and eat. If I want some meat, I got goat meat back in the backyard. This is the home I love. If I needed something, I would go to my neighbor and knock. They say, "Hey, I need sugar." They help me, and I help them. I didn't have no cell phone. So if I come to your house, you live miles away, and I walk to your home, you're not there, I walk right back. No cell phone. I didn't have a bike. I didn't have a car. Never seen a car. Never seen a bike. Matter of fact, shoes. Never had shoes. I walk barefoot, and I love this home. I'll go to the jungles, I see monkeys flying from tree to trees. This is the home I love so much. You see, silverback gorillas. Love those animals. Love. This is the home I came to love so very much. But one day, just in the twinkling of an eye, this home that I loved became a war zone. Talking about genocide. 1994 genocide. Nobody knew what was happening. We woke up one night, the houses were burning up. People are screaming. Have no idea what's happening. Before the war started, brothers and sisters, God says, when you were in your mother's womb, God knew who you were. He knew your name. He knew your occupations. He knew your future before anybody knew who you were. As a young boy, I heard this voice. Back home, we don't have no lights. We have lamps. I heard this voice. It says, pick up your light and follow me. I was a 9 this time. Pick up your lamp and follow me. I'm asleep in the middle of the night. I'm picking up my lamp. I am walking in the middle of the night, not knowing where I'm going, not knowing who I'm following. By God's grace, my mother heard me walking around the house. She said, what are you doing? I don't know, mama. I heard this voice that followed me. I'm following it. He said, son, go back to sleep. I said, okay. My dad had one rule at his house. You do whatever you want. Come farm with me, go to school, but don't go to church. I said, okay. Because my African father, when they said don't do it, hey, they mean don't do it. There's no punishment. The punishment back home, that we don't do ground. You don't ground. They don't ground you. They don't send to your room without food or to take your cell phones away. Uh-uh. They take the belt off. Well, of course, no belt. They get a stick. And they whoop you until there's blood. So when my father says, don't do it. Yes, sir. Not going to church. I had a friend who came to my house and invited to go to church. He said, I said, hey, Lika, come to church with me. I said, hey, listen here, brother. My father had told me, if I go to church, I will get a whooping. I like how I am right now. My body, there's no scars. I ain't going. He left. Everything is good. He came back. I'm like, okay, what is going on here? So I finally disobeyed my father, and I went to church with him. Went to church, pastor preached sermon. When I was in church, my soul felt at home. I felt this is great. I felt I belonged there. Came home, you know what happened? Yep, Pastor Lee, I got whooped. I got whooped. My mother cried, oh, leave my son alone. My boom, boom. Cried tears because I went to church. Again, this friend of mine had the nerve to come back at home. As soon as I saw him coming home, I ran away from him. Because I knew he's going to come, ask me to go back to church. If I do, I get whooping again. So the friend came. He said, where's Alika? He stayed until I came back home. He said, Alika, we got to go back to church. So I went again. I went to church again. When we got back, I wanted to tell my family everything I've learned. I wanted to tell them the word of God. I didn't care about the whooping. Genocide started then. I didn't know who the voice called me, who it was. I had no idea what was happening. The world I knew just did 360 in one night. Houses are burned up. Everybody's running. When it rains, you see blood in the streets. Not knowing what's going on. Two tribes, Hutu and Tutsi. Same color, same language, same culture, same food. We are killing each other. Politics. You rich, I'm going to kill you and take what's yours. Guys, the devil is a lie. The devil came to steal and to destroy what God has given you. So now we have no choice to leave our home. We found this letter, a note. It had these people who they're going to hunt and kill them. And my father's name was on that list. Had no idea what he had done. As soon as he saw that list, the first thing he did, he came and said, Lika, you're the man of the house now. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm 9 years old. I'm the man of the house. He took off and went along. He went to hide. He said, I am going to find a place and I will come back and take you guys with me. Somebody else made the promise to me. My God says, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me as I believe in my father's. My father's house, there's so many mentioned. I am going home to prepare a place for you. One day I will come back and take you with me. So where I am, you could be there as well. My father made that promise that, hey, stay here. I'll come back and get you. So we stayed, and they came and said, hey, you can't be here. It's like where my father said, we got to stay here. They burned the house in front of me, the house that my father built. They burnt in front of us. They told us we got to go. We're going to get killed. So now, first of all, we're homeless. We have no food. The only clothes we have, the clothes on our backs. We are running, had no idea where we're going. Behind us, the rebels, we can kill you, cities. In front of us, their animals were to attack and kill you. So either way, we're going to die. The children of Israel, they are in Egypt, slavery, working to death. God called this man named Moses, said, Moses, I heard my children in Israel. They cried for help. I'm going to send you. You know how Moses went. Moses came out with excuses. Wait a minute. I can't speak. Send somebody else. God says, I need you. But Moses, I don't have no degree. I don't know people. I don't have what they need. And God says, hey, I called you and I will qualify you. And you know, God sent Aaron, Moses, as a helper. Moses went back to Egypt, got the children of Israel. They got out. They finally got out. Then Pharaoh, you know, the king of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he heard, wait a minute, the children of Israel are gone now. God did all these miracles. And yet Pharaoh did not listen. But God says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. The last plague, the last son born died. Pharaoh says, okay, you could go now. After Pharaoh cried, he said, we need to get these children back. They ran after them. Now they come to a place. They are in the middle of a war. In front of them, there's the Red Sea. Behind them, there is Pharaoh's armies. Back home, me, mom, my sisters, we were running. We get in the middle of a war. Behind us, there are the enemies. In front of us are animals ready to kill us. We're running. We got stopped by the rebels. They put us in a circle. Me and my mom and my sister, two sisters at that time. They start asking questions. Where is your father? He didn't tell us. I mean, even if I knew, I won't tell on you. I won't tell on my father. I won't tell you. So that there's something terrible to my mother. These grown men start beating my mother with fists. Beating her up as a young man. Because my father left me in charge. I felt obligated to help my mother. I was on my knees. I got up trying to help her. And I heard a gun. Shit is on my head. Say, if you move again, they're going to kill you right now. Went back on the ground. Since everybody's running, he's calling out, Jesus, help us. Now I'm like, okay, well, where's Jesus? Where is he at? Where is this God that's letting these kids die? Where is this God that is letting innocent people die? I got questions. I'm confused. I heard about this God. Where is he? As long as I was in the middle of this circle, I said, listen, I don't know who you are. I hear about you. People are saying, God, help us. I don't know. But if you help me, if you help me from this situation, my life is yours. I will serve you forever. God will fight your battles. You just need to be still. God will use your enemy to bless you. David says God will prepare a table in front of your enemies. The same people who had guns on my head, the same people who had machetes on my head spoke up. Leave this family alone. Leave this family alone. At that time, I did not understand. At that time, I had no idea that there is angels around us. At that time, I had no idea that God is protecting and leading his children. They help us. They got us up. They said, hey, if you go straight, you will die. They advise us, the same enemies, the same people who are about to kill us, advise us, turn around, go the other direction. If you go straight, they will kill you. I had no idea that was God saving his people. So we turned around and went. Now, this time, no place to sleep. You dig holes, you sleep in the holes. You eat what you can before they eat you. People are dying along the way. By God's grace, we get to meet up with our father. Now my father is alive now. We went to see him. He was bound up like a goat about to get killed. This man said, listen, we find you, we're going to kill you now. My dad says, there's somebody out there who can vouch for me, who knows me that I'm innocent. Take me to that person. If that person said, you don't know, he doesn't know me, kill me right there and then. My father put his life in somebody's hands. Not God, but a man. God can use anybody, anything to accomplish his will. He used a donkey. He used a bird to feed his prophets. God can use anything, can use anybody, whether you're old or young, God can use you. He just wants you to say, here I am, Lord, use me just the way I am. The world is his and everything belongs in it is his. He says, search that kingdom first and his righteousness, because in his kingdom, there's everything that you need. Once you search him, once you find him, and all his blessings will just chase you everywhere you go. So we go to this man that my father believed that he will save him. We, all of us now are together, mom, dad, my sister, we're there, rebels behind us, with guns and machetes, we're going. My father's bound up. We get to this guy. As soon as he saw my father bound up, he started crying. What in the world are you doing? Why is he bound up? Let him go. As soon as he said, let him go, we start dancing. Oh, we start dancing. We're like, you know what? We're gone. Boom! We just ran. We ran. But during this time, people lost their lives. People will come to church and start shooting in church. By school, they go to school and start shooting for no reason. By God's grace, God saved us from this war genocide. We went to Tanzania, refugee camp. We stayed in the refugee camp for 5 years. Now, in this camp, people wish they would have died during the genocide, because in refugee camp, it's death all around you. You wake up to go to the bathroom, you step on a dead body. The food is not clean. Mosquito bites you, boom, you're dead. Things are terrible there. People are saying, they think that the war back home, it's over. They return to go back, boom, they get killed. The war wasn't over yet. My father made a promise that I would die in this camp, never turn around. Let me show you how God works. I don't know who you are. We just met today. But I know one thing is, you are my brother, my sisters. Because we have one father. We all bleed the same color. I don't care if you're white, black, purple, blah, blah, blah. One father. One father. We're in a refugee camp. Now, I'm still confused about this God. I'm mad. I'm mad at God. I'm like, okay, I hear about all these people saying, God, help us. I'm like, where's God? Where is he? I really want to have a meeting with God. I want to ask him questions. God did hear me in the refugee camp. There were pastors, all kinds of pastors in the refugee camp going around preaching. Hey, listen, God saved you. Oh, this God again. God saved me. Save me? What about those that died? How come he didn't save them? Why me? Pastors keep coming. They knock on my father's door. They want to give us Bible study. My father said, get out of here. The same father who whooped me from going to church is saying, Finally, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor came to the house. My father gave him ear. They sat down. God does miracles, brothers and sisters. I don't care how far you've gone. God can bring you back home. My father had Bible study with these pastors months after months after months. My dad got baptized in refugee camp. Became a pastor in refugee camp. The same guy that used to whoop me now is giving Bible study at home with my family. The same guy that whooped me, he makes sure before we go to bed, we say a prayer. Before we eat, we say a prayer. Before we go to bed, he's reading all kind of books to us. I'm looking at him, Father, do you remember what you used to whoop me? What if we joke about it? Now he's preaching the good news. He's in the camp, a pastor preaching to the world. I'm like, this guy here, he's the one. I'm still confused about this guy, though. He have not answered me. But yeah, he says, be still and know that I am God. Now, my father has this understanding about God. I'm still in the dark about God. I don't know who he is. Yes, my father's reading, he's praying, but I'm like, I want to witness him. I want to talk to him. I got questions. Now, in a refugee camp, we thought we were going to be there forever because my father promised he would never go back. We're praying, and suddenly we see a whole different people in the camp, different color in the camp. The American people came to the camp saying, hey, listen, we got a place for you. It's called America. We could take you there for freedom. Like, get us out of here. We don't care what it is. Just get us out of here. But in order to come to America, there were requirements. The doctors came in. They test you, make sure you're not sick, no HIVs. You don't have nothing. You make sure everything, you are healthy. Now in this refugee camp, mom and dad are having babies from left to right. Now we have six sisters. I have six sisters. They're all born refugee camp. I'm like, Dad, people are dying. You guys are having kids. What's going on here? The meth is not messing up. You know, I was like, where are you taking these kids? What's going on? All six sisters were born refugee camp and one brother. I'm the oldest. All of them refugee camp. They all came, the doctors came, they all tested our families, and all of us were healthy. We made it to the list to come to America, hallelujah, we're dancing. Now listen, guys, when God blesses you, there are people like, ew, what? When God blesses you, the enemy's not happy. I can prove it to you. Now, we're in our camp, we made the list. Now there are groups who did not make that list. They come to us saying, listen, you don't want to go to America. They eat people. I'm like, what? You've never went to America. How do you know they eat people? They eat frogs. How do you know? I don't care what they eat. They eat frogs. I'll eat it with two. Just take me out of here. Get me out of here. People are discouraging us. Don't go to America. It's not good for you. I don't care. Get us out of here. Now they brought a big bus, they roll us in. Now those group who didn't make it, they're throwing eggs at the bus. Now I'm in the bus, I'm like, you didn't make it. You know. By God's grace, they put us in the bus, then they put us in a big bird called airplane. That was scary. That was huge scary. Now, a bunch of refugees in the airport. You know the food they gave us? Hot dogs, Lee, hot dogs. We thought it was a finger. Like, oh, they do eat people. Oh, we thought the hot dogs were literally a finger. People, America do eat people. What? Oh, my goodness. Now, they gave us apple. There's no apples back home. It's like, what? What is this? We couldn't eat the food here. Now, imagine this. A young man from Rwanda, Africa, tropical, rain and hot. That's all we have back home. They brought me from Africa, straight to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
terrible. Terrible. Now, we get to Sioux Falls. I mean, they took care of us. They had a house. South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Now, they had a house ready for us. Back home, this is literally our home. You know, there's no light, nothing. We have a lamp back home. Now, we get to Sioux Falls. There's a house. We walk in. There's a switch. And all of you have a switch in your home. You walk in, you turn the switch on, there's lights. I'm like, okay, where's this? Where's it coming from? You know, we are the cavemen, guys. We are literally have no idea where we are or what's going on. There's a fridge in the house. We open, there's cold air. Like, where's this coming from? There's a telephone. You could talk to somebody on the other line? How is this possible? Now there was food in the house, but we didn't care about that. We want rice and beans. That's what we wanted. Woo! First time we saw snow then. That come the snow moment. I thought it was salt. So as a young man, I went outside with my little teen time. I went and ate salt. I ended up in the hospital for 7 days because of pneumonia. I've learned when snow comes, I'm putting 2 pants on, 3 boots, and 3 hats. I'm staying warm. But life got so hard in Sioux Falls. No language, no culture. Came here not knowing anybody here. Start from scratch, just us and God. That's all we had to stick with. Us and God. That is it. We walked to the store to get food. If there was kids would come to my house, they want to play, like, I don't know what you're saying. They spoke English, I speak Nyarwanda. It doesn't work. There's no communication there. By God's grace, I went to high school. I finished high school there. Now, during the high school, when I was in Sioux Falls, the pastors there, everybody would look at me and say, man, you're going to be a pastor. And I would run away. Literally. Like, hey, Lick, you're going to be a pastor. Leave me alone. They'll say, Lick, could you please help with Pathfinder? Nope. Ask somebody else. Finally, my dad begged me and said, hey, go help the Pathfinder. I help with Pathfinders, but I didn't want to be a front to do anything. I'll be behind closed door. God has a plan for each one of us. When I finished high school, my plan was I will go to Afghanistan war, go to fight, and get a lot of money and take care of the family. That was my plan. Be a soldier. God had a different plan. I went to the army. You know, you had to take tests to get in. There's tests for you had to take. Jeremy, I went there 3 times, my brother. Failed. I'm like, what? I kept trying. I read books. I watched videos. The door was closed. I said, fine. This door is closed. Let's go to mechanic. I went to Toronto mechanic. It didn't work. Then the pastor at the church said, Leke, listen, I know you're struggling, but I know God has a plan for you. Where's the plan? Where? No. Do you ever pray and have any silence? But God is always working behind the scene. The pastor said, hey, there's a school, a Union College. We're going to send you there. Now, Union College from Sioux Falls is 4 hours drive. I'm going away 4 hours from my family. The family, the food, my mom can cook. The culture, it's all right there at home. The language is at home. You are telling me I'm about to leave this home and go to a different world. Did you say, yep? So the church did everything to help me to go to Union. I did. I went to Union. Not knowing that God is leading me to where he wants me to be. I left home, mom and dad, knowing that I'm going to Union to study nursing. Because all I wanted was to make money and take care of the family. That was it. Because we came here not knowing anything. And my job was, I'm going to work, money, take care of the sisters. You know how I learned English? Sesame Street. Yeah. The alphabet. Yeah. You laughing. Sesame Street. Yes. Whatever I learn, I go home and teach my sisters. Whether good or bad, that we're learning. So I'm at Union. I'm praying. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm here. I really don't know. But I need you to open the door for me. Surely now, there's a professor of mine that was going to do a mission trip in Rwanda. He said, Like, why don't you come with us to Rwanda to do a mission trip? I said, huh? You're going to Rwanda to do what? We're going to preach. I'm like, oh boy. Now God is following me all the way from Rwanda now. I'm like, okay, now I'm like Moses now. I'm come with so many excuses. Well, I don't know how to speak. Literally, I really don't know. That language, I had no idea. I spoke a little English. I could get by. But I speak? Like, well, I don't have no money. I don't have no passport. He looked at me and said, is that a yes or no? I'm like, oh boy. I said, no, I don't have these things. So God used this professor. Got the money. He got the passport. And he said, Like, we got the money, we got the passport. What's your answer? Now I have no excuse. I have to go. I have to go. I get Rwanda. It's a beautiful sight. Thousands of people came by. They came to see this preacher from America who used to live in Africa. Now he's back home to preach. Everybody and their mama, their grandma is there to see this wonderful preacher. I am nervous. My legs are doing this. My heart is, I have no idea. I stood in front of these people. I said, listen, I don't know who this God is. I don't know if you're real. But I know you saved me from Rwanda. You saved me from the genocide. You brought me to Sioux Falls. You did all this. I don't know who you are. I still don't understand your power. Please don't let me embarrass in front of these people. If you embarrass me, that means you are embarrassed. I put the blame on him. I really did. I said, if I'm embarrassed, you get embarrassed. That's all you. I'm telling you, I opened my mouth. What came out of it, I couldn't tell you. But I felt at home. I felt like the search was over. The professor says, yeah, you're a pastor, man. You go back union. He showed him how to take classes, theology. I wish I had more time to tell you the whole journey. How God has led me from Rwanda to America. The things I had to go through. Met a woman at Union College. We dated. About 4 years, we got engaged, got married. You know, the happiest moment of your life. We moved to Kansas. Yeah, you know, it was. She was working. I was working. It was good. I finally got. To know a church in New Haven. Pastor Elsa. I worked with them, and everything was good until one night. This woman said, "Listen, man, I think I made a mistake." What? You made a mistake? What you mean? About me? Yeah, I think all these years. What? After all these years, you telling me this now? If I stand here and tell you that I took it well, I'd be lying. I cried tears that I didn't understand what was happening. But God was directing me. My father called me and said, Like, come home. I said, I'm staying right here. I want to find out what's going on. God has a plan. God has a plan. I stand there, and God used all that mess. Direct me. And how I got here, it's a long story, it's a long journey. A journey to the wilderness. All of us have been to the wilderness. But in the wilderness, that's where God works miracles. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. Did you know that when Jesus was baptized, the enemy was there as well? Okay, good. Okay, we're on the same page then. So Jesus is baptized. The enemy heard this voice. This is my son. Wait a minute. This is the glory that I used to live with? This can't be the son of God. I know the glory. I've seen him. I lived with him. How can this glory be in this earth? How can this glory come into mortality? How is this possible? Lucifer got clever. Let me find out. The Bible tells me that when Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit itself, not the enemy, the Holy Spirit led the Son of God to the wilderness. There's something that you and I learn in the wilderness that we can't learn from college. There's something the wilderness teaches you that nobody can teach you. Only God can teach you through the wilderness. God can use your mess into something marvelous. Read the Romans chapter 8. All things work together. If God is for us, who can be against us? Read book of Romans. That gives you hope. That your mess, God can transform it. Your divorce, your prisons, your jails, all that. God can use it into something marvelous. The tears I cried, I had no idea why. But I can stand here and tell you that I'm not ashamed of my struggles, because you and I can talk and point you to the cross. Because the same cross that found me in prison is the same cross that got me out of the pit and set me up. He said, Elike, I still love you. Elike, I got a plan for you. The same God that was with me through the divorce is the same God who said, hold on, I am here with you. I love the book of Exodus. I really do, because I see myself in it. God was with us. The Israelites got there. They're in the middle. Red Sea, Pharaoh behind it, behind them. And God told Moses, "Say, why are you standing there?" And God parted the Red Sea. And I don't know, use your imagination. For me, I see when the Red Sea parted, you see there's snakes in the sea, there's snakes, there's all kinds of animals. When the children of Israel, when God's people walking by, in my mind, I see all these animals saluting God's people as they walk through the water. I see those animals saying there's God's people coming through. And as soon as they parted, went safe shore, enemies are behind them trying to destroy them. Then the water came and took the Egyptians. The enemies were no longer there. The Israelites won the battles without lifting a fingers. Amen. You are fighting something that is not yours. He said, give it to God. It doesn't matter how you feel, whether you're tired, whether you're broke, whether you're rich. God is still God. Whether you believe him or don't believe him, he's still God. He is unchangeable God. One day, every knee will bow down. Might as well do it right now before it's too late. And I thank you, Mill River Church. And I thank you for allowing me to come and stand in front of you. And I thank you that I can share what God has done for me in my life. You could see yourself that this young man is a broken man that still needs grace. This broken man been through a lot, but because of God, I'm still standing. I'm not here because I have no money. I have money, which I don't have any. I'm not here because I got degrees. Mm-mm. I am here because I was aligned with God. And once you are aligned with him, no weapon forms you shall prosper. Hang in there, my brothers and sisters. God knows where you are. He knows where he left you. He knows where he dropped you off at. So stop crying and stop praising. May God bless you all. Because God is leading you to a beautiful place. Have a wonderful Sabbath and be blessed. And God is with you all. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you for your lessons. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for what I'm standing right now, Father. This is you. And I give you all praise and glory, Father. Let my light shine around this dark world. Bless this church, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.